Hedia. For 10,000 years, that name stood as a bulwark between humanity and utter darkness. This fortress world guarded the most dangerous threshold in the galaxy, the Eye of Terror, and for millennia it held the line. The soldiers of Kedia, disciplined and unyielding, became legendary as the Imperium's finest. They were the first line of defense and often the last ones standing. Every day on Kedia was a battle for survival, every citizen a potential soldier. It was the rock upon which the tides of chaos broke, a name spoken with reverence by countless Imperial citizens and with hatred by the enemies of mankind. In the grim darkness of the far future, countless heroes and armies rise and fall. But the Kedian shock troops, the regiments raised on Kedia soil, remain iconic. They were born in war, lived in war, and many died with laser gun in hand, all so the rest of humanity could sleep at night, or at least die a little later. Today, we'll take you inside the ranks of the most storied regiment in Warhammer 40K, the Kedians, to discover what made them the pride of the Imperial Guard, how they trained and fought, and how their legacy endures even after their world's cataclysmic fall. Welcome to Kedia. Where Kedia stands is more than a motto, it's a way of life, and where even in destruction this regiment's legend lives on. The fortress world of Kedia. Kedia was no ordinary planet. It was a fortress world in every sense. Situated at the edge of the Eye of Terror, the galaxy's worst neighborhood, a warp rift teeming with chaos, Kedia guarded the only stable route out of that hellish realm. This passage, known as the Kedian Gate, was the funnel through which countless horrors would spill into the Imperium, if not for Kedia standing vigil. In other words, Kedia was humanity's shield planted firmly at the galaxy's gate of damnation. The strategic importance of this world was off the charts. Any massive chaos invasion pretty much had to bulldoze through Kedia first, and for 10,000 years that was easier said than done. Interestingly, Kedia wasn't always under Imperial control. It was made into the bastion it became. In the aftermath of the Horus Heresy, the galaxy-spanning civil war that nearly toppled the Imperium, the fleeing traitor legions disappeared into the Eye of Terror, and Kedia was left a ruined, chaos-tainted place. The Imperium realized that this world had to be secured, or humanity would never know peace. So in the early 32nd millennium, settlers and soldiers resettled Kedia specifically to turn it into a bulwark. Ironically, according to legend, the native humans on Kedia, before then, had worshipped the Dark Gods, a stain the Emperor's forces cleansed with extreme prejudice. Over the following centuries, the Imperium rebuilt Kedia in steel and stone. Early on, it became clear that traditional city layouts weren't going to cut it. After the first chaos assaults, they rebuilt every population center into a fortress. By the time of the later Crusades, Kedia cities had been reforged into the impregnable caserns that would famously hold out against the worst of sieges. To call Kedia heavily fortified would be an understatement. Imperial battle fleets prowled its orbital space, ready to blast anything unsanctioned out of the void. The planet itself bristled with defenses, from vast orbital gun platforms and ground-based missile silos to the towering fortress cities that dotted its surface. These cities, called kasers in the local tongue, were military bastions engineered to withstand the worst siege imaginable. Each kaser was protected by layers of void shields and ringed by bunkers, trenches, and artillery emplacements. There were gun turrets on the walls, gun turrets in the streets, probably gun turrets in the bathrooms for all we know. Even the architecture was militarized. Every hab block and factory was built to double as a strong point. A bakery on Kedia might hide an ammo dump in its cellar, and the town hall likely had bolter emplacements on the roof. On Kedia, every building was a bunker and every citizen a potential defender. Each Kasser streets were laid out in elaborate geometric patterns. From above, they resembled an intricate puzzle, purposely designed to confuse and bog down any invader who breached the outer defenses. Life on this world was bleak, harsh, and relentlessly disciplined, exactly what it needed to be. The climate was cold and unforgiving, with howling winds sweeping over gray plains. It wasn't the kind of place you'd vacation, but those brutal conditions helped forge brutal resolve. Only the strongest survived to adulthood on Kedia, and they came of age knowing nothing but duty. The planet was under permanent martial law, which sounds dystopian elsewhere, but for Kedia it was simply Tuesday. Freedom took a back seat to survival. Curfews, drills, and military parades were the norm. Incoming spacecraft that didn't have the correct security codes would be shot down first and questioned later. That was life on Kedia Frontier. Eternally vigilant, always a hair trigger away from all-out war. Notably, many Kedians even bore distinctive purple-colored eyes, a benign mutation from generations living under the warp's eerie glow. Instead of sowing fear, those unusual eyes became a mark of pride. Even the bodies of Kedia people proclaimed they were forged by the fires of war. For millennia, it worked. The gates of hell remained slammed shut because Kedia and its people refused to break. Militarized from birth. On Kedia, every man, woman, and child was a soldier in training. Quite literally, by law and by culture, service was universal. Nearly three-quarters of the population wore a uniform and carried a rifle. Children were taught to field strip and reassemble a laser gun before they learned to read. Reading is overrated when you live next door to Hellspawn. Knowing how to shoot straight tends to be more useful. By the time a Kedian kid was in their early teens, they could march in formation, recite tactical doctrines from memory, and hit a target in howling wind at 500 meters. There was even a charming rite of passage known as the Month of Making. Before puberty, Kedian youths were sent to survive alone on the frozen islands of the Caducades Sea for a month with minimal supplies. Those who came back alive earned the right to join the ranks. Fun childhood, huh? To get an idea of what this meant in practice, a day off for a Kedian White Shield might still start before dawn with a 5-kilometer run and weapons drills. By midday, they could be out in the wilderness on a live fire exercise, last bolts sizzling overhead as they crawl through mud and razor wire. Perhaps in the afternoon, they'll assault a mock fortress, constructed by their instructors to be just shy of impossible to crack. And come evening, they're expected to clean every weapon, recite the day's lessons learned, and stand sentry duty before catching a few hours' sleep. It's a punishing regimen. But by the time a White Shield graduates to full guardsman, there's almost nothing the galaxy can throw at them that they haven't already endured in training. As soon as they were of age, teenagers were inducted into the Youth Army, organized into units called White Shields. These weren't just Boy Scouts with laser guns. White Shield platoons trained under live fire conditions, sometimes even fighting alongside grown soldiers when the situation was dire. Most of the time, they waged mock wars against each other across the harsh Kedian wilderness, learning squad tactics and survival the hard way. The regimen was grueling, but it forged veterans before they even officially became adults. The very best of these cadets, the sharpest shots, the bravest and most promising, were picked out for something special, elevation to the Kasserkin. The Kasserkin were Kedia elite, stormtroopers among an entire planet of stormtroopers. They got the hardest training, the best gear, and the most dangerous missions. If the Kedian shock troops are the sledgehammer of the Imperial Guard, the Kasserkin are the scalpel, albeit a scalpel that can drop a Chaos Space Marine at 20 paces. Discipline was everything. From day one, Kedians learned to obey orders without hesitation, to stand their ground no matter what. Weakness or cowardice was not just frowned upon. It was virtually non-existent thanks to intense societal pressure. Everyone pulled their weight. Refusing to serve wasn't an option. A Kedian who tried to avoid duty would probably be considered mad or traitorous and dealt with accordingly. Nobility and high birth on Kedia didn't buy you an easy life either. Sure, the offspring of officers were groomed to lead, but they still trained and bled with everyone else. Future officers were expected to prove themselves in the field, not sit in a classroom. In fact, Kedian High Command believed that sending a promising young leader to some fancy academy was a waste. Leaders were forged in combat, not on chalkboards. After basic training, roughly half of all Kedians would be shipped off-world as part of the Imperial Guard regiments, the famous Kedian shock troops bound for battlefronts across the galaxy. The other half stayed home in the Planetary Defense Forces, the Interior Guard, to man the fortress walls of Kedia itself. Notably, Kedia also maintained an internal guard to police its own ranks. Inquisitors from the Ordo Malleus, who were permanently attached to watch for chaos, corruption, or cult activity. On Kedia, even the threat from within was hunted relentlessly, with secretive agents ever vigilant against heresy lurking in the shadows. In fact, one out of every 10 Kedian soldiers, no matter how skilled, was assigned to the Interior Guard by design. This ensured that Kedia home defense was always stocked with experienced fighters. Some of the best soldiers in the Imperium never left Kedia. They spent their whole career guarding their home. Talk about never getting to go on a road trip. Those who did ship out, proud to carry their Kasser emblem on their shoulder, knew it might be a one-way ticket. It was said that of the Kedians sent off-world, only 1 in 1,000 ever returned home. The rest fell in distant wars on countless worlds, sacrifices in humanity's endless fight. The attrition was so high that Kedia literally had a policy of reusing grave plots once the names on the tombstones became illegible. They needed the space for the newly fallen. Grim, but practical. Even the way Kedia honored its dead reflected its stark reality. There were so many fallen over the centuries that cemeteries could not possibly hold them all forever. The priests of Kedia had a practice. If a gravestone's inscription weathered away and the name could no longer be read, the grave was considered relinquished. The remains would be exhumed and placed in a communal ossuary, freeing the plot for a new casualty of war. It wasn't done out of callousness. To Kedians, it was understood that memory is duty, and once a name was lost, the duty of that grave was done, making room, quite literally, for the next hero. On Kedia, nothing went to waste, not even grave space. Through all this, the Kedians maintained an almost zealous pride. They had a saying, Kedia stands. Those two words carried the weight of centuries of defiance. Every Kedian believed their duty was to stand unbroken, no matter the cost. And thanks to their upbringing, most of them did exactly that. By the time a Kedian reached the front lines as a fresh-faced guardsman, they had more live-fire experience and training than some veteran soldiers from other worlds. They were, in effect, soldiers from cradle to grave. If it sounds extreme, that's because it was. But on Kedia, extreme was the only way to survive. The Kedian shock troops, discipline and doctrine. When people speak of the Imperial Guard, often they picture a Kedian. The Kedian shock troops, as their regiments are formally called, are the gold standard by which other guardsmen are measured. These are professional soldiers through and through, disciplined, well-equipped, and drilled to perfection. In fact, so storied is their reputation that countless other Imperial worlds have modeled their own armies after the Kedians. The standard-issue gear of the Astra Militarum, the flak armor, the fatigues, the trusty M36 Cantrell lasgun, All of it is essentially Kedian pattern. Imitation is the sincerest form of flattery. And in this case, half the Imperium is imitating Kedia homework. If you see an Imperial Guardsman and they're not a shirtless jungle fighter or fur-clad ice worlder or some other exotic type, odds are they're dressed and armed like a Kedian. So, what makes Kedian troops so effective? In a word, discipline. These soldiers have fire in their veins and iron in their spines. They hold the line when others would break. They follow orders with near unquestioning loyalty, and on the rare occasion a Kedian questions an order, it's probably because they have a better tactical idea. Centuries of constant warfare honed their tactical acumen. Kedians are flexible and adaptable on the battlefield. Having been raised in battle, they've seen just about every scenario. Urban warfare in maze-like city ruins? The Kedians excel at it. After all, they built their own cities to be death traps for invaders, so they know a thing or two about fighting in streets and rubble. Trench warfare slogging through mud and barbed wire? Kedia been there. Open field tank battles with roaring Lehman Russ squadrons? Kedians coordinate with armored units as naturally as if born in a command bunker. Many probably were. Siege defense, rapid assault, guerrilla actions. Name any type of warfare and a Kedian regiment has a playbook for it. This adaptability made them the go-to choice for commanders across the galaxy. If an Imperial general requested reinforcements and got a Kedian unit, they breathed a little easier that night. Kedian regiments also benefited from top-notch equipment and rigorous organization. A Kedian unit on campaign was a model of combined arms warfare. They'd have integrated infantry companies with their own support weapons teams, mortars, heavy bolters, lascannons, the works, and often be supplemented by Kedian armored regiments or artillery batteries operating in tight coordination. Unlike some of the more ragtag forces from fringe worlds, the Kedians followed the Tactica Imperium to the letter, the formal doctrines of war, and actually made it work. Morale was kept high by tradition and pride. Each company carried battle standards that bore the honors of centuries, and each soldier knew they were part of something unbreakable. There was also a fanaticism to the Kedians, a loyalist zeal. They absolutely hated the enemies of the Emperor, especially the forces of chaos that had menaced their home for so long. A Kedian trooper would rather die than give an inch to a heretic or alien. Indeed, many did die holding their ground to the last. Stories abound of Kedian platoons standing firm even when surrounded, fighting to the final round and then fixing bayonets. Surrender isn't in the Kedian vocabulary. If a superior yells, "Hold the line," Kedians hold the line. Whether facing a horde of orcs charging with crude cleavers, a tide of tyrannid monstrosities, or the worst nightmares spewing from the eye of terror. Their legendary stubbornness earned them respect even from the Emperor's space marines. It said some chapters of the Adeptus Astartes, those superhuman warriors, have saluted Kedian regiments after battles, a mark of honor rarely given to mere humans. One veteran Lord General of the Imperium once remarked that if every guardsman were as steadfast as a Kedian, the Emperor's enemies would have fled long ago. Such accolades were not given lightly, but the Kedians earned them time and again. The Kedians' reputation even spread to their fellow guardsmen. Other regiments would fight harder with Kedians by their side. Seeing those proud troopers hold the line against truly unthinkable horrors could steal anyone's spine. In short, the Kedian shock troops combined all the qualities you want in an Imperial Guard regiment. Training, gear, guts, and an unshakable belief in their cause. They weren't genetically enhanced or power-armored. They bled and died like ordinary men and women. But in the crucible of unending war, they proved time and again that mere humans can stand against the worst the galaxy has to offer. and prevail, at least for a while. That is why the Kedian regiments are held up as icons of the Guard. They are the humble, dogged, lasergun-toting heroes that exemplify the Imperium's indomitable spirit. And as long as a Kedian draws breath, Kedia stands. War on all fronts. Kedian regiments didn't just sit at home on guard duty. They were shipped out to fight on countless worlds and war zones, earning battle honors across the galaxy. If there was a major conflict in the Imperium, chances are a Kedian banner was there, and often they were leading the charge or holding the last line. They faced down endless hordes of orcs during invasions, dug in against ravenous Tyranid hive fleets, clashed with the advanced armies of the Tau Empire, and stood off the horrific legions of chaos more times than anyone could count. Though the Tau possessed technology far beyond standard Imperial kit, the Kedians' superior coordination and sheer obstinance often won the day. Many a Tau commander came to realize that these human troops simply refused to be intimidated or outfought, no matter the odds. From the frozen trenches of frigid ice worlds to the steaming jungles of death worlds, the purple-eyed soldiers of Kedia brought disciplined fury to every battlefield. In the Third War for Armageddon, for example, Kedian shock troops were at the forefront, reinforcing that embattled world against an orc onslaught that could have drowned lesser troops in green tides. Earlier in that same century, during the Gothic War, Kedian regiments had also been instrumental in battling a massive chaos armada ravaging the sectors. They joined forces with the Imperial Navy's battlefleet Gothic to retake worlds overrun by heretics and even boarded hulking chaos space stations in daring raids. Their actions in that war helped put an end to the Despoilers campaign, at least for a time. During the terrifying Tyranid Wars, Kedian regiments formed the steel core of defense lines on frontier planets, pouring lasfire into chitinous nightmares and holding fast where others might break. They have liberated besieged hive cities, stormed beachheads alongside space marines, and defended critical star fortresses in the void. Basically, name a famous war. The Kedians were there, and often their presence meant the Imperium would carry the day. Crucially, Kedia forces were engaged in an eternal battle with the followers of Chaos. Over the millennia, the Imperium recorded 13 major Chaos incursions known as the Black Crusades, massive offensives launched from the Eye of Terror that aimed to spill doom into the galaxy. Kedia stood at ground zero for these hellish wars. 12 times before the final fall, the forces of Chaos tried to crack the Kedian gate wide open. Black Crusades would erupt, sending forth traitor marines, heretic legions, and warp-spawned abominations in numbers beyond counting. Some of those crusades were smaller, probing assaults. Others were galaxy-shaking invasions. But every single time, Kedia and the Imperium's defenders managed to throw the attackers back into the abyss. It wasn't without cost. Each Black Crusade left graveyards of Kedians by the thousands, if not millions, and filled war journals with tales of desperate last stands. Yet, Kedia stands. That was the refrain after each victory. After one particularly brutal Black Crusade, the battle-scarred Kedians simply rebuilt their fortifications, stacked the enemy's corpses like sandbags, and waited for the next round. You get the sense these people were stuck in an endless loop of Groundhog Day. Except the Groundhogs are blood-mad chaos warlords and demonic hosts. Through victory after hard-won victory, the legend of the Kedian regiments only grew. They became known as the Hammer of the Emperor, a title they shared with other elite forces but earned in full measure on 100 battlefields. Their uniforms, once a local pattern of practical olive and tan, became symbolic of unwavering resistance. For the average citizens across the Imperium, Holovid images of Kedian troops raising their rifles in triumph or standing unbowed amidst smoking ruins were inspirational, proof that humanity could hold its own in the darkest of times. Meanwhile, the enemies of mankind learned to dread the sight of Kedian colors on the horizon. It meant that whatever foul scheme or grand offensive they had planned was about to meet an unbreakable wall of lasergun fire and bayonets. The Kedians were not superhuman, but in war after war they achieved feats that made it seem otherwise. All of this was leading up to an apocalyptic confrontation. After centuries of foiled invasions, chaos was not about to give up. Each Black Crusade was but a prelude to the next, and the forces of ruin were learning, biding their time, massing their strength for one final push. The Kedians, for their part, prepared as they always did, by fortifying, drilling, and standing ready to sell their lives dearly. They had no way of knowing the storm that was coming would be unlike any before. The 13th Black Crusade was at hand, and with it, Kedia's date with destiny. The fall of Kedia. All the trials and wars before were but a prelude to Kedia's final battle, the 13th Black Crusade. This was the big one, an apocalyptic chaos invasion launched in late M41 that dwarfed all previous incursions. The dark forces threw everything at Kedia, determined to break the Imperium's gate once and for all. The assault began with treachery. A faction of Kedia's own allies, the Volscani Cataphracts, an Imperial Guard regiment that had secretly turned traitor, infiltrated and struck a crippling blow in the war's opening moves. These renegades detonated explosives at the heart of Kedia's command headquarters, wiping out the senior leadership in one catastrophic blast. In the blink of an eye, Kedia's high command was decapitated. But if the Chaos Warlord thought that would make the Kedians roll over, he was in for a surprise. The survivors on Kedia, from freshly enlisted White Shields to seasoned colonels, immediately rallied. One by one, backup chains of command fell into place. A certain hard-nosed commander, the highest-ranking officer left alive, assumed the mantle of Lord Castellan of Kedia and vowed to fight to the end. The loss of generals just meant the grunts fought all the harder. Every Kedian knew what was at stake and needed no orders to do their duty. What followed was war in its most intense, desperate form. The sky rained fire as chaos warships bombarded the planet and drop pods full of twisted super soldiers slammed down on Kedia soil. The Kedians met the invaders in the field and in the streets of every Kasser, turning each city into a brutal urban meat grinder. They fought in the trenches of Kedia plains, in the corridors of bunkers, and amidst the burning ruins of their own homes. Kasser by Kasser, the forces of chaos pushed forward over piles of their own dead, and the Kedians gave ground only inch by bloody inch. Legendary battles raged. The defense of Kasser Tyrok, where the Kedian 8th Regiment famously annihilated the turncoat Volscani in a savage counterattack. The siege of Kasser Partox, the fall of Kasser Holm. Each fortress city that fell cost the attackers dearly. In truth, chaos won only ashes and gravestones until sheer weight of numbers forced them onward. Kedia defenders were vastly outnumbered and facing the worst nightmares of the galaxy. Chaos Space Marines in Baroque black armor, heretic Titan war machines stomping across the plains, rivers of gibbering demons pouring from warp rifts. Still, the Kedians refused to break. Side by side with other Imperial forces, regiments from other worlds, Adeptus Mechanicus, tech priests, a few companies of space marines, and even the mighty war engines of the Titan legions. They made the servants of the dark gods pay in blood for every step. The battle became so dire that salvation came from the unlikeliest of allies. the Eldar, ancient enemies of Chaos, and even a cryptic Necron lord lent aid at the critical moment. Together with Imperial tech adepts, they sought to activate Kedia's mysterious Xenos-built pylons, those enormous black monoliths scattered across the planet, which legend held could slow or suppress the warp's influence. This desperate gambit began to work. As the pylons hummed to life, the ruinous sorceries of Chaos weakened. Demons faltered, the skies began to clear, and the tide of battle started to turn in the Imperium's favor. For one golden moment, it seemed Kedia might actually stand victorious yet again, snatching defiance from the jaws of defeat. That was when the enemy resorted to utter desperation. The Archfiends of Chaos, unwilling to accept another failure, unleashed a doomsday move that nobody could have anticipated or survived. High above Kedia, the invaders had a gargantuan space station, a captured Blackstone fortress, a relic of ancient super technology the size of a small moon. In a final act of malice, the Chaos Warmaster commanded this Blackstone fortress to plummet from orbit straight down onto Kedia. Imagine a mountain-sized bomb dropping on your hometown. That's essentially what happened. The impact was beyond apocalyptic. In one shattering instant, Kedia crust cracked like an eggshell. The planet's surface ruptured, continents split, oceans boiled. The mighty pylons, which had been the planet's last hope, were smashed apart by the seismic shock. All the energy they were containing exploded outward. The sky tore open as the Eye of Terror, that great warp storm, roared in triumph. Kedia, the world that had stood firm for 10,000 years, was dying. Yet even as the planet literally broke apart beneath them, the Kedians still fought on. They continued to evacuate civilians and comrades, covering the retreats to the very end. A last stand was made at Kedia's final bastion, the lone remaining functional stronghold amid a collapsing landscape. Countless thousands of Kedian soldiers gave their lives, holding back the onrushing hordes just a little longer, so that ships high above could rescue whoever they could. The scene was beyond tragic. A once austere world reduced to flaming chunks, with its indomitable soldiers still firing laser guns into the dark until swallowed by that darkness. For those soldiers on the ground, it was the very end of their world, yet not a single report tells of them faltering. The Kedians did not break, even when all hope was gone. They fought until they simply could not, and by that time there was no Kedia left to fight on. Only a relative handful of survivors escaped the death of Kedia, ferried away on evacuation craft and the great Imperial battleship, Phalanx. Untold millions perished so that perhaps 2 or 3 million souls might flee. When the last ship finally tore away into the void, Kedia's broken remains were engulfed by the expanding warp rift. According to later reports, the very last Vox transmission out of Kedia command bunker was a voice proudly declaring, "Kedia stands," before it faded into silence. Perhaps apocryphal, but it's exactly the note of stubborn pride you'd expect from the Kedians in their final moment. The aftermath was a nightmare on a galactic scale. With Kedia destruction, the delicate balance containing the Eye of Terror was lost. The warp storm expanded furiously, ripping reality asunder. A cataclysmic tear in the fabric of space, the Cicatrix Maledictum, also called the Great Rift, spread across the galaxy from Kedia's location. Half the Imperium was now cut off in darkness, the sky itself writhing with unnatural energy. It was as if the final death of Kedia was the dam breaking that unleashed hell across the stars. But amid this devastation, the legacy of Kedia's last stand shone bright. Imperial propaganda, and really anyone who witnessed it, enshrined the Kedians' courage in legend. The common saying that emerged was, "The planet broke before the guard did." In other words, it took literally splitting the planet in half to stop the Kedian shock troops. And even then, It only stopped them because there was no ground left to stand on. Kedia fell, yes, but it fell undefeated in spirit. Kedia stands. Aftermath and legacy. Kedia. The planet may be gone, but Kedia, the legend, lives on. The surviving Kedian shock troops, those who escaped the fall or were off-world in other war zones at the time, did not just throw in the towel. Far from it. In the wake of the Cataclysm, these soldiers became a dispersed army of Avengers, carrying their war flag to every corner of the Imperium that needed defending. They are often called the Kedian Diaspora, and they've made it their mission to ensure Kedia sacrifice was not in vain. Their mantra, Kedia Stands, transformed from a defiant slogan into a solemn vow and rallying cry. As long as any Kedian lives to fight, Kedia, in spirit, still stands. In the immediate aftermath of Kedia Fall, the refugee fleet bearing its survivors made for neighboring strongholds. The other worlds of the Kedian system, and nearby fortress planets, became rally points for the beleaguered defenders. The Imperial Navy redeployed blockade fleets to contain the widening warp storm, while on the ground, what remained of the Kedian High Command established a provisional headquarters in exile. Shattered regiments were reformed by merging survivors. New officers rose from the ranks to fill gaps left by fallen leaders. There was little time to mourn. The war against chaos raged on, simply shifting to new fronts. Rebuilding a shattered army without a home world is no easy feat, but the Kedians have managed it through sheer grit and adaptability. They treat their remaining native-born troops as precious seed stock, the last true sons and daughters of Kedia. Entire generations of new Kedian recruits are now being born and raised among the stars, en route to war zones aboard Navy ships or station fortresses. These youths grow up on firing ranges in cargo holds, drilling in void ship hangars, learning the Kedia way even though they've never set foot on the soil of their lost home. Veteran Kedians, hardened by the fall, serve as instructors and cadre, instilling the old discipline into fresh blood. And fresh blood is needed. The losses were staggering. To fill the ranks, the Kedians have started recruiting promising warriors from other planets where they've been deployed. Any soldier from another regiment who has the mettle to endure Kedian training and embraces the Kedian ethos can be inducted to wear the purple and khaki. Some purists initially sneered at these so-called transplants, but the reality is that new Kedians are being made everywhere now. In a way, Kedia sons and daughters are no longer defined by birthplace, but by spirit. If you can fight like a Kedian, obey like a Kedian, and swear the oaths of Kedia, you are a Kedian. The modern Kedian regiments in exile fight with perhaps even greater ferocity than they did before, for now they carry the pain of a lost home, and every battle is personal. They have scores to settle, particularly against the chaos forces that destroyed their world. It's said that when a Kedian survivor sees the black armor of the Chaos Space Marines, especially the treacherous Legion responsible for leading the assault, they fight with a controlled fury that borders on zealotry. Vengeance is always on the Kedians' minds, but so is duty. They know that now every world in the Imperium is essentially Kedia, meaning every world is on the front line of the Great Rift. So the Kedians spread out and dig in wherever they must, from the fortress world of Vigilus, site of the infamous War of Beasts, where they helped stem another major chaos onslaught, to distant crusades pushing back alien empires. On Vigilus, a massive chaos horde attempted to seize that critical world and sever the last stable corridor between the Imperium's halves. The Kedians knew another fall like Kedia could not be allowed. They fought through the hive sprawls of Vigilus block by block, using all their urban combat prowess to stall and bleed the invaders. In the end, their efforts alongside other Imperial forces halted the enemy's advance, keeping that gateway world in Imperial hands. Even amid this calamity, the Imperium fought back. When a grand counteroffensive was launched to restore order, the Indomitus Crusade, Kedian Shock troops were right at the forefront. Under the leadership of a returned Primarch of legend, the Imperial armies pushed into the darkness to reclaim lost worlds. Kedian regiments spearheaded countless battles in this crusade, their banners proudly unfurled. On war-torn planets half a galaxy away from their lost home, they raised the cry, "Kedia stands!" as they charged enemy lines, turning that phrase into a universal call to arms. Their heroics in the Indomitus Crusade proved that even without a homeworld, the Kedians were still the Imperium's unwavering shield, ever ready to strike back at the heart of chaos. The loss of Kedia sent shockwaves through the Imperial Guard as a whole. It was as if Mars or Terra had fallen, an unthinkable anchor point gone. But instead of despair, the Guard found grim inspiration. Memorials to Kedia popped up on a thousand worlds. The Kedian Gate region remains a hot war zone, now a shattered corridor where Imperial fleets and Chaos Armadas clash in the void amid the graveyard of a planet. The name Kedia has become synonymous with courage under impossible odds. New recruits across the galaxy are taught about Kedia in their primers. How ordinary guardsmen held back the apocalypse through valor and sacrifice. And Kedian pattern arms and armor continue to be produced in massive quantities, as if every factory and forge wants to keep the spirit of Kedia alive. Many Imperial commanders will specifically request Kedian-born units, if any are available, knowing full well the quality they're getting. In the end, the story of the Kedian Shock troops didn't end with the planet's death. If anything, it entered a new chapter, one of a brotherhood of warriors without a home, bound together by shared loss and unshakable purpose. They embody the saying that a planet is not truly lost as long as its people remember it. The Kedians remember Kedia. Every battle they fight, every trench they dig, every lasergun volley they fire is in memory of their home and in service to the Imperium that Kedia defended for so long. In a dark galaxy, the torch of Kedia courage has been passed to its surviving children, scattered though they are. Kedia has become more than a place. It is now a symbol of unyielding courage, a rallying point in the hearts of soldiers across the Imperium. And so Kedia still stands, not on any map, but in the resolve of every Kedian guardsman who lifts a rifle and charges into the fray with a battle cry on their lips. Kedia stands.